I'm just kind of curious, how do you assess compliance? Because people always say cancer patients take their drugs, and then you see studies of pharmacy, whatever, and they don't. What do you think really happens, and how do you assess it in your patients?
Well, I think it is an honest broker relationship between the physician and the patient. I think the most important thing that a physician has to do is to lay down the objectives of treatment, be honest with their patients, and say, look, if I give you this drug and I maintain the dose and I deal with your toxicity, I have a chance of significantly helping you. If we have to lower the dose, if you choose not to take the drug or the toxicity causes you discomfort, we also have to recognize that the benefits of the drug will be diminished. And the reality is, as with anything else, it's a partnership between the patient and the doctor. And partnerships are best when you're honest. And when patients then come back in and said, doc, you know, I know you wanted me to take it for 4 weeks, but I could only tolerate 3 weeks and 2 days, then you can start to figure out how to work around that, as opposed to, doc, I took it for 4 weeks when they really didn't.
One of the things we've seen with some of the oral antineoplastics, for example, capecitabine, is a subset of patients who continue taking the drug in spite of toxicity, get into a lot of problems because they don't want to stop taking it because of the cancer. Do you see that?
Oh, absolutely. People, these are cancer patients. You know that, Neil. If they don't develop toxicity, they often say to us, doc, it can't be working. I have to be having a side effect. And if they do develop toxicity, they say, doc, does this mean it's working because I have to put up with this aggravation? And I don't think as a community, as an oncology community, we've done a good enough job yet of explaining to cancer patients this transition from IV therapy to oral therapy so that they understand that the delivery of our oral therapies, whether it's capecitabine, whether it is something for GIST or CML or kidney cancer, is a different approach to their cancer. The other part is the practice. I can tell you unequivocally, the reason I can give oral drugs successfully is not because I'm such a good doctor. It's because I have a great nurse.
I knew you were going to say that.
and every good doctor should have a great nurse, because oral drugs, primarily in the office-based practice, are handled by your staff. Only when it reaches the level of intravenous fluids or medication. And I don't think we've done a good enough job as oncologists helping our staff being trained, because they're the healthcare delivery team members that are often interfacing. And I can tell you, I'll give you one experience with temsirolimus. So temsirolimus is given IV weekly. And everybody was concerned, well, IV weekly, will my patient come back? It seems to be pretty frequent. What's the deal? I tell you that patients like to come in and connect with their healthcare team to manage toxicity, and they feel very cared for. And when you're on an oral drug, sometimes the frequency isn't the same because you don't expect the toxicity, and I think we underestimate the need to see them frequently.
Also, I think there's some patients, I don't know what fraction, who I think get some kind of social benefit from the infusion room and talking to other patients.
I think that percentage is high. I think they partner with the nurse. I mean, you know that they often come back and say, I want Mary, because Mary gave it to me the last time. I like the way she gives it to me, and I like how she answers my questions. And yes, support team, support services, and having other people there at the same time, it becomes a community.